Good morning. Good morning, Rabotai. Welcome to Breakfast in the Class. Breakfast in the Class today is dedicated in honor of our delivery manager, Tomer Rafaeli. We're so proud of you. Strengthen yourself in Torah and Mitzvot. In the zchut of your daily Gemara Shi'ur with Rabbi Ozeri, you should find the best shiduch after Pesach. Mazal Tov from Batya Kahana of Batya's Kitchen. Also dedicated loving memory of Chacham Rafael Aryeh, Lilui Nishmat Chacham Rafael Ben Malka Verabi Haya, Alav Shalom, sponsored by the Ohev Shalom family. Also dedicated loving memory of Daniela Mafsan, Alav Shalom, Lilui Nishmat Daniela Nehama Bat Haya Shira, Alav Shalom, sponsored by the Ohev Shalom family. And dedicated for the quick and speedy recovery of Farangis Yafa Bat Zinat, may she have a complete refuah shlema, sponsored by a granddaughter, Daniela Zagi. A breakfast in the class is sponsored, dedicated for the refuah shlema of Miriam Bat Sara Mavash, dedicated in honor and gratitude for Rabbi Fari, Rabbi Mizrahi, Mr. Haron Shochet. I'm grateful for all your tefillot. And of course, as always, dedicated in loving memory of Mrs. Lily Safra, Lili Nishmad Lea Bat Khan, our philanthropy is reached so many throughout the world, and by David E. Ash. And the new website, Capacity for Good, where you could order merch to be able to sponsor all the wonderful things that we're doing here in the Beit HaKnesset. My friends. Ve'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim ba'layla hazeh. And I will pass through the land of Egypt on this night. Ve'hiketi kol bechor be'eretz Mitzrayim. And I will hit every bechor, all the firstborn, in the land of Egypt. And our rabbis point out that we're all familiar what we say in the Haggadah, Ani ve'lo malach, Ani ve'lo shaliach, Ani hu ve'lo acher. Right? What does God say? Who did it? I did it. Not a malach, not an angel, not a shaliach, not a messenger, not anyone else. It was me. I'm the one that did makat bechorot. Okay? Now, I have a little bit of a problem. Because the pasuk and the two pasukim that we're seeing over here seem to contradict one another. Because the pasuk says that the Jewish people should put the blood of the Korban Pesach on the doorposts, that when the mashchit, that when the destroyer comes, he'll know which houses are Jewish and which houses are not. That's literally the pasuk. So on the one end, we seem to have an explicit pasuk telling us that the Malach HaMavet, the angel of death, was the one that was carrying this out. And therefore the Jewish people needed to rely on certain things in order that the angels should know who to punish and who not to punish. But on the other hand, we have explicitly in the Pasuk that who was it? That it was God Himself. Ve'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim, ani ve'lo malach, ani ve'lo shaliach. So which one was it? And if it was God, then why did the Jewish people need a sign? Surely God Himself knows. In fact, the Gemara tells us that when Borei Olam came to do Makat Bechorot, what if you had a scenario where you had twins that were born and nobody knows who was born first? Ani v'lo shaliach, God says that I was the one that will say that this is the one that was conceived first. Something that only God could know. Not given to anyone else, not given even to the angels. So who was doing this? Who was carrying it out? This is a very famous question. Ani ba'atzmi v'lo shaliach, but on the other hand, you find something else. My friends, I find something in this, which is, I mean, it's breathtaking. I saw in the Sefer Od Yosef Chai, brought in the name of the Sefer of Od Yosef Chai, a magnificent answer. He says when the Egyptians heard about what was going to happen, that the Jews were going to have these, quite literally, safe houses, okay? What did they do? They went to their slaves, the Hebrews, and they forced the Jews to take into their home their Egyptian firstborn sons. Smart. Because God said that if you have the blood on the doorpost, there will be no permission for the mashchit to enter the home. But what they did not realize, says the Sefer Od Yosef Chai, is that a person who tries to outsmart God gets hit twice. Because what does the pasuk tell us? The pasuk says, "Ki en bayit asher en sham met." There was no house that did not have someone in it that had passed away in Makat Bechoror in Egypt. My friends, what if you had a house that had a firstborn that already passed away? What happened in that house? Who was the person that in that house that died? The Chachamim say that if the Mashchit came to the home and did not find the firstborn, who got taken instead? The next one in the family. So the Mashchit rocks up and the next one passes away. And then Borei Olam himself, when he passes through Egypt, also sees, so to speak, in the house of the Jew, this Egyptian firstborn, and the Bechor himself also gets taken. So a person who tries to outsmart God, not only do they lose once, but they lose twice. I'm not of the ilk of the type that talks about, you know, burning in the Gehinnom and punishment from God and all these different kind of things. But one thing I do want to point out from this idea of Od Yosef Chai, and that is that we learn a tremendous lesson from the story of the Egyptians. And that is, like they say, you can run, but you can't hide. You try to hide this kid, your kid in the house of the Jewish guy, it's not going to work. This is not human tax collectors. This is not even angels. This is Borei Olam telling you what's going to be. This is how it is. My friends, in the story of Yonah, we read that Yonah was taken, lifted up on the boat, and cast from the boat into the waters. And Yonah, in the end, is saved in the Me'eh HaDagah, and the whale, and God brings him all the way to the shore, and the whale spits him out. After Yonah is praying, B'me'eh HaDagah, he's praying in there for 3 days. And what is Yonah, what is he running away from? God tells him, another 40 days, Nineveh ne'epachet, go tell the people of Nineveh to do teshuvah. And Yonah doesn't want to do it. So what does he do? He runs away from God. Comes the storm, gets thrown in the water. Comes the whale, he gets swallowed by the whale. But why does Yonah deserve to be punished? Because the people of Nineveh have sinned. What's Yonah done? And the answer is, Yonah ran away. And you know what? End of the day, you can't run away from the mission that God gives you. Because wherever you go, whatever you do, He'll find you. It will find you. Our rabbis tell us that the king of Nineveh was none other than Paro himself. Paro was granted an extraordinarily and miraculously long life in order to be able to survive and outlast, if you will, all of the people in Egypt so that he could tell the people about what happened to him in Egypt. And that's why when Yonah rocks up to Nineveh and says, guys, 40 days, Nineveh's being turned over, what's the first thing that happens? If someone comes to you in this street and they say, New York is being destroyed, what do you tell them? Already destroyed. Now, what do you tell them? You tell the guy, go back on your meds. Crazy, you're a crazy guy. You're a lunatic from Times Square. Right? The end of days, guy's holding up the thing, you know. What do you tell the guys? Have a good day. Here's a dollar. Go buy yourself a coffee. You know, maybe you wake up. Yonah walks into the city of Nineveh. He says, guys, this whole thing, everything's done. The whole thing's going to be flipped. You're all going to... And what? The king goes off of his throne. He covers himself in sackcloth and ashes, decrees a fast upon the whole country. The whole country descends into utter mourning and teshuvah until HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives all of the city of Nineveh and accepts their teshuvah. Why do you think the king did that? Say the Chachamim, because the king was Paro. He already saw what happens when you don't make teshuvah. My friends, that was why God perhaps was harsh with Yonah. Because I asked you to go to a man called Paro. Would you not have learned from the protagonist in that story that you can't run from God? I asked you to go deliver a message to the guy who learned you can run but you can't hide. And you're going to run from that? My friends, this question I think is a deep question that all of us have to deal with. Not for the sake of being punished. Not for the sake of, double dipping on onesh. But an understanding that when God wants something from you, He's going to get it from you. He's going to bring it out of you. And we can do it two ways, Yonah. You can get on a horse and ride to Nineveh, no problem. Or you can go on a boat and go wherever you else you want to go. Take a boat to Australia to run away to the penal colony. Go for it. I'm going to send a whale to bring you back direct, non-stop flight. It's not going to be so comfortable. There are times when we can witness that God is calling to us, asking us to change, asking us to improve. Forget the punishment aspect of it completely. That's not what I'm trying to tell you. What I'm trying to tell you is, you will do what you're supposed to do by hook or by crook. The only question is, how comfortable is the ride getting there? And what do you lose when you take the uncomfortable ride? When you cause yourself that discomfort? So that's why we find these two pasukim. The first pasuk is describing the idea, what would have been in a normal circumstance. Hashem would have sent an angel, and the angel would have cleaned the house. They tried to pull a fast once, and God said, okay, now I have to get involved. Okay. It's not as nice as it would. I mean, it would have been terrible before, but it's going to be worse now. Sometimes, when a person is going through a tough time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking them to walk with Him somewhere, to develop something, to improve His behavior, His character, to elevate His family, to do more in the community, to do more in their tefillah, in their emunah. Hashem might be saying, Rohi, it's time to step up. If you run, you get pulled back to the exact same spot on the ladder. You know why? Because what God is asking of you is the very best thing for you. And sometimes parents find themselves in a sticky situation where they know what's best for their child, and the child is kicking and screaming. I have a couple kids that did not really like or love, let's say, needles, getting a shot. And I'm saying that as a mild understatement. Yeah? The kid needs to get the shot in order to be healthy, right? In order to ward off the diseases that they're giving the kid. They have to have those shots, whatever the case might be, okay? The kid could sit there, and then what is it? It's a pinch in the arm. Or what happens? Kicking and screaming. The father has to come in, hold the child tight with his arms, wrap his legs around his legs. The kid is literally in more pain from the vice grip that you have to put on him in order to administer the shot than the shot itself. That, my friends, is sometimes the experience that we have in our life, where Hashem wants to give us a shot and it will hurt, but it will hurt for a second. And we run as fast as we can from that discomfort. And Hashem says, no, 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 honey, you need this. But now in order to get it, I need to hold you here. I need to force you to stay in this place, because this is what you need. You know, sometimes in life they say there's this thing called ghosting somebody. You get messages, you don't respond. People ghost enough people, they think they can ghost God. But God doesn't accept ghosting. You don't listen to the message, He sends you a larger one, a bigger one, a louder one. You know, AK knocks at the door. You've been ignoring my messages. I see you blue ticking. You know, I see you. Sorry for that, for the Android WhatsAppers. What do you guys do on Apple? The green check? Right. Sorry? Blue also on the messages. All right, just checking. That was just a public statement of my love and affinity for Samsung. Guys, yes? Blue. I see that you saw it. I see that you got it. Eventually comes a point where what do? Go around the house and knock on the front door. Now again, remember, the point here is not a point being made about punishment. It's a point being made about destiny. That what you're supposed to do, you will have to do. It will come to you. In a good way, in a bad way, you choose. And ultimately, that I think is perhaps something that people don't realize in life, don't deal with issues in life until they mushroom and they become bigger, until they become louder. And we could save ourselves a tremendous amount of hassle, of energy, of difficulty if we heard or tried to hear loud and clear what Hashem was telling us and then acted upon it without being dragged back to the very location we ran away from by whale. May Hashem bless us always to have the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu attended to in the sphere of beracha, in the sphere of understanding, in the fear of self-development, of growth. And Be'ezat Hashem will go. Amen. Amen.